The book is They Called Us Enemy. It's a new graphic memoir released by actor George Takei, most notably of Star Trek fame. In it, it covers George's childhood and Japanese American internment camps during World War II and how it shaped his life and the lives of 120,000 other Japanese Americans. George Takei joins us now on the KSRO Live Line. Good morning, George.
Good morning, and good to be talking with you.
It's a pleasure having you on, especially an actor of your repute. Just kind of going back to your childhood on this, how difficult was it for you to work on this book and to display it in such a graphic way?
I had just turned 5 years old. On April 20th, I turned 5 years old. And a few weeks later, in May, my parents got me up very early one morning, together with my brother, a year younger, and my baby sister, an infant. And they dressed us very hurriedly, and my brother and I were told to wait in the living room while our parents did some last-minute packing back in the bedroom. And so we were standing by the front window, just gazing out, and suddenly we saw two soldiers marching up our driveway. They carried rifles with shiny bayonets on them. They stomped up the porch and with their fists began pounding on the door. And the way I remembered, I thought the whole house trembled. My father came out of the bedroom, answered the door, and literally at gunpoint, we were forced out of our home. We were taken from our home. Well, first of all, my father gave my brother and me small packages to carry, and he hefted two heavy suitcases, and we followed him out, and we stood on the driveway waiting for our mother. And when she came out, she had our baby sister in one arm and a huge, heavy-looking duffel bag in the other, and tears were flowing down her cheeks.
What were you thinking when, you know, just with this happening?
It was terrifying. I mean, those soldiers were scary because they had these bayonets. They looked sharp, and they were very gruff, and they were speaking to us forcefully. And for me, the way I remembered, it was a very scary morning. We were loaded onto trucks with other Japanese-American families who were gathered and driven out to San Anita Racetrack, a nearby racetrack. Mm-hmm. And we were unloaded, herded over to the stable area. Each family was assigned one horse stall that was still pungent with the scent of, or stink of horse manure. And that was to be our home for the next few months while the camps were being built. We just left a two-bedroom home with a front yard and a backyard and a garage, and now we were forced to sleep in this narrow horse stall. As a five-year-old kid, I thought it was fun to sleep where the horses sleep. I can even smell them if I breathe deeply. There was a parallel story going on. My parents, on the one hand, felt the pain and degradation, and I thought it was fun to sleep where the horses slept.
That kind of sounds like the outlook of a child there.
It was. I was a five-year-old kid, just freshly turned 5 years old.
Was that enthusiasm still there when you had moved from Santa Anita to another camp?
Well, we were taken by train two-thirds of the way across the country to the swamps of Arkansas to a camp called Rower, R-O-H-W-E-R. For this Southern Californian kid to be in a swamp was an exotic experience. I mean, right near the barbed wire fence was a bayou with trees growing out of the water, and the roots of a tree snaked in and out of the water. I'd never seen anything like that. And the kids were told to sit on the baggage and wait as while our fathers located where our particular unit was. And we heard all sorts of strange sounds, cawing sounds and hooting sounds and screeching sounds coming from the swamp. And I thought, you know, what kind of monsters could that be out there? Mm-hmm. And the older boys told us that they were dinosaur sounds.
Were and they crocodiles or alligators? Or
no, they were birds and other animals out there in the bayou. But they sounded exotic. And the older boys told us that it was dinosaur sounds. And they told us that they were monsters that lived on the earth thousands of years ago, and they died. And I said, they died? How can we hear them today? The boy seemed a little bit flustered, but he then found the answer. He said, well, the only place where they didn't die was in Arkansas. And that's why they built the barbed wire fence, to keep them caged away from us for our safety. For me, as a five-year-old kid, it was an adventure of discovery, new things, new experiences. Mm-hmm. I caught butterflies, and they left pretty patterns on my fingers. And I tried to do that with dragonflies, too, but they were too fast, and I couldn't catch them. But they were beautiful. It was an exotic place. For my parents, it was a terrifying, harrowing experience. I mean, to be stripped of everything. Just because this bombing happened in Pearl Harbor, we had nothing to do with it. We're Americans. My mother was born in Sacramento. My father was born in Japan, but as a boy, he was brought to San Francisco by my immigrant paternal grandfather. And he was raised, educated, went to college in San Francisco. My parents met and married in Los Angeles, and we were born there, my brother and sister and I. And yet, we looked just like the people that bombed Pearl Harbor. And first, they came down with the curfew. All Japanese Americans had to be home by 8 o'clock and stay home until 6 a.m. in the morning. We were imprisoned in our homes at night, which didn't matter to me because, you know, my mother put us to bed and that was it. But then my parents went to the bank to get some money for living expenses. They discovered that the bank account was frozen. Oh. We were financially straitjacketed. Their life savings was taken away. And then the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, signed Executive Order 9066, which ordered all Japanese Americans on the West Coast, approximately 120,000 of us, to be rounded up with no charges, with no trial. Due process, the central pillar of our justice system, simply disappeared. And we were forced out of our homes and imprisoned in 10 barbed wire prison camps. We were taken to the swamps of Arkansas. There were two camps on the blistering hot desert of Arizona. Can you imagine? In black tar paper barracks with no air conditioning. There were other camps in Wyoming, Idaho, Utah, Colorado, and two in the interior areas, the most desolate areas of California. We, innocent Americans, simply because of our Japanese ancestry, were categorized as enemy aliens. There was no evidence or no, you know, rational explanation for it. Yes, we were of Japanese ancestry, but we were not the enemy. Mm-hmm. And alien, my mother was born in Sacramento. We were born in Los Angeles. My father, yes, was born in Japan, but came as a boy to the United States, and spiritually and by education, and he was fluent in both English and Japanese. He was American.
You're as American as you could be back then, and it seemed like an idyllic life before the war had started.
Well, my father was fairly successful. He had a high-end dry cleaning shop in the Wilshire district, right near Bullock's Wilshire, and so we had a high-end clientele, but that didn't matter whether we were successful or not. My mother was the daughter of a successful farmer in the Sacramento Delta, but my grandparents' land would have been taken away. In fact, my grandparents couldn't own land because, well, first of all, the immigrant generation from Japan and China were immediately, from the very outset, discriminated against. Asian immigrants were deemed ineligible to American naturalized citizenship. the first discrimination. But then California, Oregon, and Washington State passed what they call the Alien Land Law, which stated, it didn't say anything about Chinese or Japanese, it just said aliens ineligible to citizenship could not buy land in those states. And my grandfather developed land that was considered wasteland in the Sacramento Delta. He made it productive, but he couldn't buy the land because he didn't have citizenship, could not get citizenship. But my grandfather was a very wily, creative thinker. His firstborn son, by virtue of his birth, was an American. And so he bought the land in his son's name, and my grandfather was developing the land owned by my uncle, his firstborn progeny. So it was that kind of history that we have in California. And when Pearl Harbor was bombed, it was very easy for them to see us as a threat to national security.
What was it like after this period, after you had gone home from these internment camps?
Well, I mean, the internment period in itself was harrowing. A series of outrages perpetrated on the Japanese Americans. But when the war ended, the gates were thrown open. We were freed. I mean, again, no explanation. As irrational as the initial imprisonment was, the end of the war and getting our freedom was equally totally irrational. But the outside world was still a hate-filled place. Mm-hmm. We just ended a war against Japan as well as Germany and Italy. And the hatred was still intense. And it was a scary world to go out into. My parents decided to go back to Los Angeles, but housing and jobs, well near impossible. Our first home back in Los Angeles was on Skid Row in downtown LA. And that to us kids was absolutely horrific, because children are amazingly adaptable. What would have been a grotesque, abnormal situation in camp became our normality. Lining up three times a day to eat lousy food in the noisy mess hall, going with my father and brother to a mass shower. And when I began school in a black tar paper barrack, my teacher taught us the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I could see the barbed wire fence and the sentry tower right outside my schoolhouse window as I recited the words, "With liberty and justice for all." From that, we were freed, and the horror Skid Row with all the scary, smelly people, and all the chaos, all the yelling and screaming and women shrieking and pulling each other's hair, that was what greeted us when the war ended.
Can you tell me why this is a graphic memoir, a.k.a. a comic book?
I'm still surprised when I share my childhood imprisonment with people that I consider well-read, well-informed people, and they're shocked that something like that happened in the United States. But it did. I experienced it. So I want young people, when they're receptive, when they're absorbing information that stays with them through life, to be aware of this chapter of American history. And, you know, as a kid, I read comic books, too. And so I thought this would be a wonderful way for people to gain entry to this information from the eyes of five-year-old me, and then introduce them to the larger reality that my parents were confronted with. So it's a parallel story. My child, innocent child, and my parents going through the grotesqueness of imprisonment when you're innocent in your own country.
George Takei, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to talk to you about They Called Us Enemy.